This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm. Thank you.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And this week's guest is Zvar. Good afternoon, Zvar.
Good afternoon, William.
I'm not allowed to use your real name. it seems.
Yeah, but it's not
you,
that.
You want to hide behind Zvar.
I think, yeah, we all need to hide behind something. so, yeah, I've chosen to hide behind that particular moniker, should we say.
Yes.
But there's nothing.
How
to
do you arrive at Zvar? What does it mean?
Essentially, it means God's seed, and it derives from. I guess Mazdaean kind of theosophy, for want of a better term. But it's an idea that kind of carries itself through to kind of Greek and Neoplatonic kind of philosophy, a term called theurgy, which literally means God working. So it's essentially rituals and kind of magical rites to essentially facilitate man's liberation from these material chains.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
So that's spelled X-V-A-R-R, should people wish to investigate your persona more thoroughly.
Yeah.
You can, if you Google that, you'll come to your website. That was one of your, that last one is one of your tracks. That's a composition of yours.
That's right. It's called She Healed Him in Her Sleep. And it essentially explores the kind of restorative nature of sleeping with your beloved.
Right.
I guess the workings that take place on other levels of consciousness, should we say. So the dream state is quite an interesting kind of state to kind of exist in and explore. And as we noted before, this T-shirt that I've got on.
I was going to come to the T-shirt. you're wearing a remarkable T-shirt with a sort of illustration with a motif on it. Sorry, I'm having to stretch the T-shirt around so I can see. The world hath turned more bestial. That's a bit ominous. It doesn't sound too restorative to me.
Well, I think one needs to connect with your animal in order to become divine. So it's a necessary stage, should we say. So I think any kind of evolutionary process can be restorative, or should be, I guess, in its ultimate kind of aim.
Right. And the illustration you were saying is by a friend of yours?
It's not a friend of mine. Okay. It's an English occultist called Andrew Chumley. We often talk about synchronicity when I come and visit you. The names kind of, and the places and the objects tend to reappear sporadically through time. And Mr. Chumley is definitely a name that seems to kind of feature on a regular basis.
Really? Okay. I'm not familiar with him at all. What's is he still around?
He's not. Well, I guess how it depends how you define around. He was writing a lot. I think I'm not an expert on him by any means, but he's no longer here.
Right.
In inverted commas here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I noticed from looking you up, you are an author as well. You have several publications out, which I wasn't aware of. I should say that we met in a bookshop. I've seen you. You've come into the bookshop many times over the last two or three years, actually. Usually looking for photography books, I think.
I'm just usually looking to escape the mundane, and that's usually through encountering the most kind of random. And hopefully kind of uncomfortable kind of literature and photography, that something that kind of, I guess, reinvigorates that kind of feeling of being alive.
Right.
And images and words are a very kind of strong way of being able to kind of invigorate or reinvigorate. So it's definitely yeah, always a pleasure to come by the shop and kind of hunt out. I always say, whenever I'm looking for stuff, I always want the most kind of extreme thing that you've got there, if possible.
Right, but right. What is the most extreme thing you've ever come across? Or is it perhaps best not to mention it? Perhaps it's too extreme to
When you say it, I don't know, with the benefit of hindsight, nothing really seems that extreme.
But in photography, would it be somebody like Joel Peter Witkin, say?
I definitely like Witkin.
Pierre Molinier?
Yeah, I love Molinier. Okay. And I think I bought a Molinier book from the shop.
Right.
But yeah, they're definitely names that spring to mind.
Yeah. And is it for the shock value, or you just find it stimulating? Does it, you know, help with your music?
Or I think I'm probably just a bit twisted.
Okay. All right. You've said it. Okay. So your own publications. We have one. It's called Picatrix. It's a Scarlet imprint. The Unveiling of Hermes. That was a limited edition of 333 copies, followed by a second edition of 666 copies.
Correct.
So that obviously flew off the shelves in order for you to double the second edition.
It was a tie. Well, it wasn't Scarlet Imprint, where our friends who kind of started a small kind of occult publishing company at a time when it kind of felt like there was not revival of sorts, but a kind of current that was kind of resurfacing in terms of people's interest in esoteric and kind of grimoire magic and occultism. I had the opportunity of being able to submit something. It was just at the end of when I did my master's in Western esotericism. And so I was kind of reading a lot about Picatrix, which is essentially a medieval grimoire that has its origins in the kind of Middle and Near East, and kind of transmitted a lot of its kind of teachings into the kind of Renaissance period. So it was really a question of trying to illustrate how Hermes, or the Eternal Hermes, or Hermes Trismegistus, essentially kind of the ideas and the kind of, I guess, the philosophies behind Hermeticism, and the ideas of Hermeticism kind of transferred and continue to transfer, I guess, throughout time.
Hmm. And another book is called Sufism, A Theurgic Perspective. I was really noticed the third one, which is called Standing in Line, which you contributed something to the Fenris Wolf issue number 8. And the editor of that is Carl Abrahamson.
That's
and
right.
And I've come across him in my sort of looking into Kenneth Anger films.
Yeah.
And he's actually, there's a very good article by Kenneth Anger, or about him, I can't remember, also edited by Carl Abrahamson in one of these Fenris Wolf issues.
Yeah. Carl Abrahamson, I mean, I came across the name, I think, when I was a lot younger and I was into Psychic TV and Throbbing Gristle and groups like that, and I know that he's been a kind of mainstay in terms of, I guess, transmitting, but also kind of building upon that kind of body of knowledge that exists in that kind of realm. It was kind of really, it was good to be asked to put something into that. That's actually a poem.
Okay.
Written in the midst of a otherworldly state, should I say.
Right. And that was published in 2016.
Yeah.
Where does this review come from? There's a review, Beyond Illuminism, on Tulloth Records. Where was that published it's a very glowing review.
So the review is actually of a record that I put out. That was my first album, and it's put out my brother's record label, Mo, who we kind of spent a long kind of, it was painful but ultimately amazingly rewarding kind of journey to kind of bring that record into existence, and it kind of still continues to teach me about, I guess, relationships and how they kind of evolve over time. And hats off to him. He did an amazing job with kind of getting that record out, and I think its reception is kind of telling of the kind of effort that he put into kind of, I guess, making it happen. And the music itself, like, he picked from kind of various bits that I'd sent him over the years, because I've been writing music for quite a while. He picked out the selection, and it's something that I'm happy with.
Do you want to play something else, then we can sort of carry on chatting maybe after that. You've brought a stack. I should say that you are operating like a professional DJ here. You're putting me to shame. It's kind of... Thank you. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and today's guest is Zvar, spelled X-V-A-R-R. I must ask you about the track before this one, which apparently was just a human voice. It sounds like an electric violin, but it's extraordinary.
It was improvised violin drones and voice, actually.
You tricked me. I fell for that one.
But it's still a bit of a trip anyway, and it's by a Japanese guy who was the founder of the legendary Taj Mahal Travellers. Don't know if you've come across that.
Right.
But,
okay.
I'm going to try and say his name. It's Takehisa Kosugi.
Kosugi? Okay. Yeah, but, sounds good. All right.
I don't speak Japanese. So.
No. Okay. You've done something at the Cafe Oto, I think?
So I played there, I think it was in March. That was the first time that I did anything live. It was arranged by a record shop who are the epicenter of, I guess, music in terms of... being a magnet for new and exciting music, and also a transmitter of that very same music out back into, I guess, the vortex of London. And it's Low Company Records. And they just recently celebrated their second year. And
where are they?
They're based up in kind of in between Rectory Road and Dalston, so it's kind of like Dalston Way.
Okay.
And I think it's Amherst Terrace.
Right. So is that Low, just L-O or L-O-W?
L-O-W, Company.
Low Company Records. Okay.
And the people there are amazing, and they, like I said, yeah, they seem to attract artists that are all, I guess, trying to get their stuff out there into the universe to try and heal the immense pain that's being orchestrated by people that aren't making music.
Okay, so when you played at the Cafe Oto, was it your what do you play, or were you doing a DJ set?
That was actually with a Buchla music easel, which is like a semi-modular synthesizer, and then kind of playing pre-recorded kind of tape and mini disc tracks over the top, and then kind of analog synthesizer over the top as well, a Yamaha thing. So yeah, it was an interesting trip, and a friend of mine, Nick, did the visuals, and he did an amazing job. He also goes under a pseudonym as well, so I can't give you his full name.
All right. What's his pseudonym then?
I can't remember. Essentially, it's one of the priests.
You just called him Nick.
I know. Hopefully the first name won't be...
No, that won't be enough. We can't track him down.
But essentially, yeah, I think his pseudonym is... it's one of the priests at the...
Old Testament?
No, the Oracles of Delphi, I think.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
So, yeah. So I can't pronounce it. And my partner in Cosmic Crime, Egypt Erotique, that's her pseudonym as well. she's my wife, and she designed the alchemical robe that I wore for the performance. So yeah, we tried to, I guess, combine a lot of different themes and energies as an antidote, like I said, to whatever's going on around us at the moment, the madness.
When I asked you, well, we met in the shop, and then it was suggested that you did this program with me on my show, and then we sort of settled on today's date.
Yeah.
And then just by coincidence or synchronicity, we found out, well, I found out, you must always have known, that it happens to be your birthday.
Yeah, that's right.
May the 31st.
Yep.
Which makes you a Gemini.
It does.
And I'm also a Gemini. Mine is not far off from now.
In fact, I know when it is, so we're not allowed to disclose.
No, right. And Dan Wilson is also a Gemini, and so is Ed Baxter, as it happens.
And so is my wife, Eliza, and there seems to be a kind of a collective of Geminis. They attract each other.
Yeah, so something going on there, isn't there? And in fact, one of the tracks on your track is called Gemini Tree, which is on one of your albums or products. I don't know if it's
So that was essentially a piano-based track. The inspiration came from a kind of long journey that my wife and I took to India. And I think all the energy and the spirituality that we kind of soaked up while we were there for 8 months, when we came back to England, it kind of had to come out. And it came out through playing a piano and putting some harmonium over the top. It was all recorded kind of very kind of on the down low, because we were living with my wife's parents at the time, and they had a piano. But I was too nervous to kind of record it whilst they're in the house. So I think there was one occasion when they kind of popped out to do some shopping, and literally I just ran down with some very rudimentary kind of recording equipment and just channeled.
Right. And it mentions in this review, it mentions something, Gemini Tree, it says something about relocating from the Dorset countryside to the steps of Elephant and Castle shopping centre.
Yeah, I think that might have been reference to another track or another artist.
Oh, okay.
But perhaps, channelled through a different lens.
You are a South London artist, apparently?
Yeah, essentially. I've lived in the South for... pretty much most of my time that I've been in London, but I'm not a Londoner, so
So apart from what you did at the Cafe Oto, do you work as a DJ? I mean, do you kind of are you?
No, I'm not.
Because you seem to be very professional on the turntables here. You've out sort of made me feel like a complete amateur here.
Well, maybe
the way you I should say you Zvar, as I'm supposed to call you, has been standing up throughout this whole program.
It's my punishment for making him come up to this the studio. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a professional. I just do what I can, basically. Okay. But yeah, no, it's thank you for letting me on, basically.
That's all right. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Got a whole weekend's worth of celebrations and debauchery. Right.
Speaking of debauchery, I noticed your second edition of this first book was 666 copies. Does this relate somehow to the number of the beast?
Well, you were talking about Kenneth Anger earlier, and there's various interpretations, I guess, of what that number means. And as with everything, different levels of understanding, I guess. In terms of the particular choices of Scarlet Imprint to reissue that in that number. I'm not really sure, but we did recently book an airplane ticket for a holiday, and the price did come to £666. Unfortunately, it came to £666.65. So the pence kind of threw it off.
But, still, it's close enough.
It was close enough. And
was that worrying or reassuring?
I think, and we've talked about this before, haven't we? Synchronicity is abound, should we say. And, you know, quite often these days things happen that, you know, I guess can't be explained sometimes, and it's just about embracing that kind of that connectedness that we have between human beings and, you know, on a greater level, as above, so below. So the things that happen up in the cosmos in terms of planetary movements and things do have a knock-on effect in terms of everyday existence here. So I think something not to be spooked out by, but something to be embraced and harnessed. And I think using synchronicity to propel yourself and your journey and release yourself from lesser levels of kind of, I guess, reality are essential to our existence, I think. Maybe I'm talking total twaddle.
Should we play another?
Wanted to play a track that came out last weekend. Low Company had a 2-year festival. It was a 1-day festival up at New River Studios, which I think is that Tottenham, out that way, basically the opposite end to South London. Right. So it was a trek to get up there, but an amazing day with lots of different artists, and they put a CD out, and I was kind enough to have been asked to submit a track. So I was just thinking we could play that track.
Okay,
if that's okay.
Yeah. So
you're gonna have to help me.
All right, this is outside of the.
This is outside my technical knowledge.
Thank you.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. We've had Zvar, X-V-A-R-R. Zvar is my guest this week. And we were chatting just then whilst the records were playing. And we've had another astounding synchronicity, which had us both sort of reeling back in shock almost.
Absolutely.
That I started to talk about the record shop called Ultima Thule or Ultima Thule, which is run by the Freeman brothers in Leicester. And so at that point, Zvar looked at me and said he's from Leicester. And I said, yes, I'm from Leicester too. we didn't realise this. And you were apparently born in Stonygate, or you come from Stonygate.
Yeah, that's where I was born. But then we moved to Odeby kind of later on. But yeah, initially born in Stonygate.
Right. And I too was born in Stonygate.
Yeah.
In what I could describe to you as St. Francis Nursing Home on the London Road, which has now been turned into a hotel. And the Freeman brothers now live sort of off to the right of Stonygate somewhere. And they used to have a shop next to the station.
Is that in a cosmic sense or literal sense?
Who knows? But so anyway, so that was quite an interesting little fact on your birthday. So we can talk about Leicester later. How about Madame Blavatsky?
Yeah, so I think I came across Blavatsky as part of my MA, and we stayed at Adyar, which was where the Theosophical Society was based. That was the first place we stayed in when we landed in India all those years ago. And I think when we talk about people channeling ideas, Blavatsky managed to pull together an enormous array of different ideas. I'm not quite sure which obviously became the kind of Theosophical Society and Theosophy. She was a pivotal figure in terms of the development of, I guess, occultism in the West.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm not quite sure why I felt the urge to name check her on the write-up that I sent to you before the show.
You mentioned something about, is it The Voice of Silence?
The Voice of the Silence, yeah, which is actually a key text, I think, that came out as part of her endless number of texts that were kind of put out by the Theosophical Society, Madame Blavatsky, and other kind of key authors that came out of that movement. But yeah, it's one book that I think I've been having next to my bedside recently and picked out a little stanza from it, which I thought was apt. That was the basis of name-checking it. So I can read out the stanza.
Yep.
It's stanza 268, and I think it's in the section called The Seven Portals. And the stanza is, "And then, O thou pursuer of the truth, thy mind soul will become as mad as a mad elephant that rages in the jungle. Mistaking forest trees for living foes, he perishes in his attempts to kill the ever-shifting shadows dancing on the wall of sunlit rocks."
So what is the book that is from? What is it?
The Voice of the Silence.
That's the book by Madame Blavatsky.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the knowledge itself probably is being channeled through her and comes from a different place.
Right.
But there's various kind of strands of, different parts of kind of occultism and the esoteric spirituality that kind of come together in that space.
And are you attached to the Theosophical Society or in some way, or do you have a... You're fairly distant from all of these strands of occultism.
Quoting, or maybe not quoting, people like Austin Spare, I think the starting point is the belief in non-belief. And I guess Nietzsche was saying it when he said, when he spoke about his ideas of the death of God as well. I think one has to make up one's own mind and... be free thinking and open minded enough to kind of give way to your own belief system, whilst staying true to some kind of eternal, straight, universal kind of concepts. But ultimately, everybody's path is their own. While saying that, we can obviously hold each other's hands on the path, so to speak. And I think it's really important that we do continue to connect, either through synchronicity or otherwise. but yeah, no, it's just good to share that journey, I guess, with other people.
Okay, well, thanks very much to Zvar for coming in today. Perhaps you can come back sometime and we can compare notes about Leicester. So do you want to play out with something now? What have we got?
Lined up? Have we got... So basically, I just wanted to mention that the 12-inch that I played before, that's coming out on Good Morning Vinyl, and that's a label that's run by a very dear friend called Biscuit, who also has been putting out good releases on Good Morning Tapes. So I'm really excited that that's going to come out, hopefully in the not-so-far future. But yeah, lots of love to him as well. And I'll just put a record on then.
Sure. What have we got? What is this?
It's Joe McPhee. And thanks to William for inviting me.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.